I'm very pleased to welcome back to View from the Roundhouse Professor Martin Drum from Notre Dame University. Welcome back, Martin.
It's great to be here, as always, Michael.
Well, it's often great to be here because there's always something new and exciting to talk about. Exciting might, in the mouths of some people, be the right word, but we had, during this week, the Minister for Defence and Deputy Prime Minister Richard Marles and the Minister for Defence Industry, amongst other things, Pat Conroy, issue joint media releases. The first one was headed Navy's Enhanced Lethality Surface Combatant Fleet, and they described a blueprint for the future, doubling things. And the second was Australia's Defence Industrial Base expanded to deliver Navy's Enhanced Lethality Surface Combatant Fleet. And you can't help but think there's an awful lot of politics in all of this, Martin. And every new government, the Albanese government's new, seems to, if they don't get a new white paper or some other coloured paper, they come up with a new policy on Australia's defence. What have you made about this? I mean, the numbers are really quite interesting. There are to be 26 major service combatants, consisting of 3 Hobart class air warfare destroyers, 6 Hunter class frigates, 11 new general purpose frigates, 6 new large optionally crewed surface vessels, which means they mightn't have anyone on them, and they're scrapping, I think, 6 remaining Anzac class frigates. And adding into all of that, 25 minor war vessels, some of which could be used helping out civilian cases. Is this a big deal?
Oh, I think it is. There's a huge amount of expenditure, a massive figures flying around. And any sort of social services project that had anything like this price attached to it would be extraordinary and transformative. So the single figures of this are astronomical, really. But I do get, forgive me if I get a bit cynical about some of the plans that are announced through to 2043 and beyond, because certainly the ministers and even the departmental staff that are behind the announcements are not going to be in those same positions in 2043. And some of them are, so there's decades in the future. But the other problem with trying to plan decades in the future in this area is that, can you imagine how much technology will have changed by 2043? So whatever you're proposing to design now would be obsolete in that time frame because technology moves so fast. So I think what we should take more notice of is the immediate schedule and the funds attached to the immediate schedule, because every incoming government does shift the deck chairs around when it comes to defence expenditure. The other thing that worries me a little bit about this is who is the oversight on the financial side, because of such big money. We saw this with the submarine project, which literally runs into hundreds of billions of dollars. Who's keeping a close eye on expenditure to make sure that we're getting value for money with all of these projects. So don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that defence isn't important. Clearly it is. But two things there, a bit cynical of is the long time frames, the decades in the future. And secondly, I think it's really critical that public money is a lot of oversight, especially when we're talking that much.
Well, the press media releases said that this will see the Albanese government inject an additional $1.7 billion over the forward estimates and $11.1 billion over the next decade in defence for an accelerated delivery of Navy's future surface combatant fleet and to expand the Australian shipbuilding industry. We've always wanted to have this domestic manufacturing industry, haven't we? And it never quite seems to come off.
Yeah, so South Australia has been the focal point for a lot of our defence industry to date. And Paul Papalia, he's the defence industry minister here in the state government. This has been a big dream of his, and he's been pushing for this for a long, long time. So I know he in particular will be especially pleased about the outcome. I would suggest that probably the forward estimates are the ones that you're looking at, because they're a bit more concrete in terms of the money being committed by government and the planning around it.
Martin, as I said earlier, each government seems to come in and do a new review in relation to to defence, they acted on the recommendations of an independent group here who provided analysis, which included Vice Admiral William Hillarides, a retired US Navy guy. There's Rosemary Huxtable, AOPSM, who quite recently was heading the Department of Finance in Canberra, and Vice Admiral Stuart Mayer, AORAN, an active naval guy. What sort of role do you think they collectively or individually had to play in this? Should we be nervous that they have an American running the show?
Well, look, you do need external people to review. And, I've just said that we need to be reviewing our full expenditure in the area. And I think probably if you think about like for like, there's two things. Someone that comes from, say, US, UK, etc., is probably an obvious choice because military matters are quite sensitive and, subject to national security. So you're probably not going to get reviewed by someone in China. So it's going to be a close ally. Probably that undertakes that review, I'd expect. The other thing is comparability. So the way that our processes procure the vessels, the way that we go about designing that in our system is probably more comparable to the UK, US, rather than a host of other countries. So there's probably only a limited, you probably count on one hand the countries that you'd be going to for an external review, and obviously retired staff are the other obvious group that you'd choose. The only problem with retired staff is I don't think the world's as big as we think it is, and they've probably still got a lot of connections to current staff.
Martin, how will the international community, friends and not so friends, view all of this?
Look, there's a lot of material floating around. Look, you've got Donald Trump and the US election, and Donald Trump's big mantra is that the allies don't spend enough on defense. So that you're getting a number of countries around the world that are beefing up some of their defense. They're probably hedging their bets in case he's getting in. They want to have a schedule of work that they're undertaking in this area. So I would think that the politics of this is always hovering around in the background. So there's that particular relevance as well. But in terms of this is another project that really focuses on defending our own shores, and that's tended to be, if you look at the recent white papers in defence, this has tended to be the focus, is it's on naval defence and air defence.
And what about the domestic politics of it? It's probably not a bad time, I suppose, for the Albanese government to show it's focusing on what some people would consider brass tacks.
Oh, well, I think there's definitely a domestic political angle. I just mentioned the role of Paul Papalia here at state level pushing for a lot of this defence work. WA now has four marginal seats, and WA's essential to the re-election of the Albanese government. So Anthony Albanese's come back here many, many times as a frequent traveller to Western Australia, and he has to show that he's interested in developing the economy here. So I don't think that's just a happy coincidence, another big pot of money being spent here.
Martin, the media release in relation to Henderson and what would happen there, it sounds reads in a very rosy way. In Western Australia, the Albanese government is delivering on its commitment to establishing a continuous naval shipbuilding program, securing the future of naval shipbuilding jobs at the Henderson complex for decades to come. Consolidation of the Henderson precinct is currently underway, as recommended by the Defence Strategic Review. Successful and timely consideration will enable eight new general purpose frigates to be built at the Henderson precinct and will enable a pathway to build six new large optionally crewed surface vessels in Western Australia. And this is in addition to the strategic shipbuilding pilot, which will see Army's landing craft, medium and heavy littoral manoeuvre vessels, as well as the decision to acquire two new evolved Cape class patrol boats, all of which we built at Henderson by Austal. And they say that'll create at least 1,200 new local jobs. I always get a bit nervous when I see a word like enable a pathway to build, but leaving that aside, it does look like Henderson's becoming a very significant naval shipyard. It's sort of brings to fruition John Forrest as Lord Forrest, first Defence Minister in the new Commonwealth government back in 1901, who saw the whole of that strip, which we still call Naval Base, together with Garden Island, being the Western defence of Australia.
Yeah, I think it has always been significant, but it's now playing a bigger role. And it's extremely well set up. If you go and visit the Henderson precinct, there's a significant strip of land, extremely well located on the coast there, down there. It's very close to Garden Island. And there's an existing industry footprint on the site. So I think that's one of the reasons why the state government has been pushing the federal government to allocate more work to this area. And it's even got, probably better, it's got potential to be better serviced by road as well. So there's quite a few prevailing positives, I think, at the site. And it's not that surprising that there's been some success in the uplift.
What do you think the coalition opposition views of this naval statement will be? We can go from the pacifists to the anything but pacifists coalition in Canberra.
Yeah, so I don't think you're going to get much excitement from the Greens around defence expenditure. But in terms of the main Liberal LNP, Liberal National Opposition, they're not going to be criticised more broadly. Obviously, they know that WA is an electoral battleground, so they're not going to be criticising the expenditure in that area. You will get some pushback from South Australia, though, because that's been the main site for defence industry activity today, and they'll be somewhat disappointed to see that being shared around more. The question is how vocal they can be when the broader opposition would want to be positive about the announcement.
Well, Matt, it's an interesting time in politics. It's a big announcement. It sort of sounds good in the general Fremantle area when it comes to economic activity and things happening. But the Prime Minister's general popularity is going to be tested quite soon in the by-election in the seat of Dunkley. What do you think will happen?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one because, of course, the seat's vacant because of the death of its previous member, and you would think that might elicit some sympathy. But by-elections are always tough for governments because naturally they're an opportunity to give the government a kick about anything you're unhappy with, knowing, of course, you don't actually need to change the government. So typically they tend to be unhappy hunting grounds for government. But, you know, we know that the government actually won a seat of the opposition recently at by-election. So there's opportunities there. I would expect the government to retain it, but these things are not always, you know, you can never be 100% sure. There's a third-party group called Advance that's spending a lot of money on the seat, we understand, to, you know, they're running an anti-Labor campaign. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see where voters see there's an opportunity to give the government a boot or whether they believe the government's fairly broadly on track with its policy settings.
Well, Martin, as I say, the big news this week was these naval announcements. We've covered those. The politics of ordinary politics will return very quickly with the Dunkley outcome, and we'll come to that soon enough. But thanks for joining me to be all defence today.
It's good to be on the defensive.
See you next time.
See you next time.